This morning's readings are selected passages from some of the parables. The first is from the parable of the sheep and the goats. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly, I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it to me." The next reading is from the parable of the Good Samaritan. "Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." And the last reading is from the parable of the prodigal son. Then the father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found." This is the gospel of Christ.
Glory to you, O Christ. Amen.
As your pastor, I am always grateful for you in everything, especially during Christmas time or some other special seasons or occasions. I receive so many greetings and blessings, cards and gifts from you, and thank you and thank you. I am truly blessed by God through each and every one of you. During last year's Advent season, I shared with you a short special Advent sermon series entitled Finding Grinch-Proof Hope and Peace, based on Dr. Seuss's classic book, How the Grinch Stole Christmas. After those sermons on the Grinch, guess what kind of a Christmas card I got from one of our thoughtful congregation members? Yes, it is a Grinch-themed Christmas card, like this one. The sender wrote Christmas greetings and blessings for me and my family, and then added this, "P.S. Dear Pastor Kim, I couldn't resist this card after hearing your sermon series," with a smile emoticon signed by Kevin Simpson. Thank you, Kevin. Are you here? Okay, raise your hand. But anyhow, Kevin, you earned an extra point. Moreover, sometime last year in my sermons, I mentioned that one of my favorite comics on the newspaper is Pearls Before Swine, created by Stephen Pastis. Probably I shared with you some of these comic strips for illustrations at least a couple of times. Then one of the congregation members listened to my sermons carefully and remembered that I loved that comic series, and later at Christmas time, surprise, she gave me a set of 2026 Pearls Before Swine calendar as a Christmas gift. Look at this. Here is the calendar. And thanks to Carolyn Graywood, you also have earned an extra point. Even this box of the calendar makes me laugh. It says, "This will be the greatest year of your life," with an asterisk, might not be true. It also says, "Or your money back guaranteed," with a double asterisk. It says, indicating definitely not true. I love this Pearls Before Swine comic series, but it provides me a great deal of a meaningful, interesting, and intriguing humors, satires, and lessons on life, faith, relationships, politics, and many other everyday topics. I think Stephen Pastis is a genius who turns life's serious and profound matters into funny and witty comics. I am also amazed at his theological and spiritual perspectives that are effectively reflected in his comics. Interestingly, it is known that he is one of the special persons who have turned from lawyer to a cartoonist. Interesting, huh? Anyhow, as many of you are aware, this comic series, the title Pearls Before Swine, is from the Bible, specifically from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7. Jesus says, "Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them underfoot and turn and maul you." Jesus' teaching in this verse is a call to wisdom to protect the precious truth he has entrusted to us. It is also a reminder that sharing our faith is a journey that requires patience and discernment. There may be moments when we feel discouraged or misunderstood, but that's when we must lean into God's strength. And this Pearls Before Swine verse is regarded as an allegory. An allegory is a story, poem, or picture that uses symbolic characters, objects, and actions to represent hidden, deeper meanings, usually concerning moral, social, or political truth. It is similar to a parable, but while parables use human characters, allegories use animal characters or other objects. Now, let me share with you one of the comics probably published a couple weeks ago in the newspaper. Pig says, "Hey, Rat, want to go to a horror movie with me? Sometimes I just like to be terrified." Rat responds, "Being alive means that at any moment you could die and be gone forever. I find that terrifying enough." After a pause, Pig says, "You may have saved me $15. Finally, Rat adds, "It's like paying for air you already breathe." This morning, we are going to share the message of Jesus given in parables. So my sermon title this morning is, "Jesus Spoke to Them in Parables." What is a parable? Generally, a parable is a simple story used to illustrate a moral or spiritual lesson as told by Jesus in the Gospels. Parables typically feature human characters facing moral dilemmas, and their intended message is clear-cut, such as love your neighbor. An allegory, on the other hand, is a longer and more elaborate narrative where characters, events, and settings symbolically represent broader abstract ideas or moral principles. The parables of Jesus could be said to contain allegorical elements, some more than others, but they are not, strictly speaking, themselves allegories. Jesus definitely deals in the world of values, virtues, and vices, But he's most immediately interested in the world of human beings, their heart, their words, and their deeds. Throughout all his preaching and teaching ministries, Jesus spoke about around 40 to 50 parables. These numbers, depending on how you consider certain parts of his stories or illustrations with both metaphor or similes. So approximately one-third, about 33% to 35% of Jesus' recorded teachings in the Synoptic Gospels, referring to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are in the form of parables. In this sense, Jesus' parables are very significant and helpful for us to understand his message better and easier. However, parables are not for everyone. Then why parables? Jesus spoke in parables to reveal the secret of the kingdom of God to his disciples while concealing them from those with hardened heart. By using relatable earthly stories, he fulfilled prophecy, forced listeners to engage deeper for meaning, and provided a sometimes judgmental barrier against those unwilling to believe. So, each and every parable of Jesus is important and meaningful. This morning, we are going to explore only three most important parables of Jesus out of many. Maybe some other time we can share an exclusive sermon series on more of Jesus' parables. Anyhow, in this book, The Message of Jesus, the author, Adam Hamilton, picked the same three parables and explained each parable. Better yet, I would like to share with you my three insight points based on the common lessons of these three parables rather than going through each and every parable's lessons. Since I assume that most of you, if not all, are familiar with these three parables, this morning's gospel readings shows only the highlight part of each parable, not complete passages. The parable of the sheep and goat, the parable of the good Samaritan, and the parable of the prodigal son collectively teach that true faith requires active compassion, unconditional love for all people regardless of social barriers, and a heart focused on mercy over legalism or selfishness, reflecting God's kingdom values. Yes, again, the essence of all these parables is the kingdom of God and God's loving heart and grace. So here is my number one point. Active compassion is essential. In other words, as God's beloved children and the citizens of the kingdom of God, we are called to practice our faith in loving and caring actions here and now. Almost all parables of Jesus are about the kingdom of God and God's values and desires so that we can live out the kingdom life on this earth. Especially all these three parables emphasize that loving God is directly tied to how one treats others in need. Yes, active compassion is essential. The righteous in Matthew's parable served the hungry and vulnerable. At the end of the story, the king who symbolizes Jesus would say to the righteous, "Truly, I tell you, just as you did it to one of these least, the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it to me. Yes, you did it to me. When your neighbor is in trouble or in need, your help, you help that person, whether in a big ways or small, you remember that you are doing it to Jesus. Yes, active compassion to everyone. The Samaritan acts immediately to help the person in need, no matter who this person would be. He didn't ask for ID or any legal document or try to judge who this person might be. It was not important at that time and at that place and situation. Practically, caring for a God's beloved child in need was and is one of the best ways to love God. By the way, the Good Samaritan himself was a half-Jew and a half-Gentile. The Jews and Samaritans were not even supposed to associate or interact with one another in those times. Nevertheless, this Good Samaritan was not afraid of taking any risk. His focus was on doing the right thing, nothing else. Person to person, heart to heart, he helped the victim by even going extra miles. He realized that saving a life was the most important and precious deed beyond any rift among Jews and Gentiles. Yes, again, active compassion is a must for a kingdom citizen. At the end of the Good Samaritan story, Jesus commands all of us, go and do likewise. In the last parable, the waiting father welcomes the returning sinner, the prodigal son, with acceptance and forgiveness. The father explains to his elder son why they need to celebrate. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found. Number two, love transcends social and cultural barriers. These parables of Jesus urge us to break down prejudices by loving one another. Interestingly, Jesus speaks the truth of God's inclusive love through his parables as if he already knew the future, which is today's situations and crisis. Yes, the eternal truth, God's permanent law, is God's steadfast and everlasting love that transcends social and cultural barriers. In the parable of the sheep and goat, Jesus shows God's inclusive love for the marginalized. Jesus, as the king in the parable, says to the righteous, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. This surely signifies that whoever in front of you, no matter who did it, it is a little Jesus whom you must take good care of. Moreover, Jesus highlights a traditionally hated and despised Samaritan as a hero who saves a person in need. So whenever we deal with other people, we must eradicate any types of prejudices, such as stereotypes, bias, false assumptions based on color, race, language, culture, national origin, education, social status, wealth, appearance, gender, sexual orientation, and many other factors of differences. Everyone, every soul is a God's beloved child created in the image of God. Interestingly, even though this Good Samaritan is a fictional character in the parable, still today, this name is used for representing a hero or a champion of humanity. And many hospitals and charity organizations are named after the Good Samaritan. It's because God's love truly transcends any social or cultural barriers, and because Jesus' parables teaching is timeless truth. Moreover, the forgiving Father shows God's unconditional love extending to a rebellious son. After all, Jesus clearly proclaims that the term neighbor includes everyone, meaning not only your family and loved ones, but also strangers and even enemies. Number three, we are called to choose heart-centered service over ritualism. All these three parables, teachings of Jesus rebuke legalism. What is legalism? According to Merriam-Webster dictionary, legalism is a strict, literal, or excessive conformity to the law or to a religious or moral code, unquote. Here the word conformity means blind obedience. That's right. This legalism shows no grace or mercy despite the laws or religious codes' original intention of human dignity, well-being, and protecting and saving people's lives. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, Jesus condemns religious legalism shown by the priest and the Levite, who would not even have not anything to do with the victim, the person in need, but to them a seemingly unclean and unknown man. I think that one of the best books on Jesus' parable is Jesus' Parables of Grace, written by the UMC pastor James W. Moore. A few years ago, I led a Bible study series with this book as the textbook, and some of you might remember this. Anyhow, in this book, he quotes, the author quotes the Henry Van Dyke Jr., who was the American author, educator, diplomat, and clergyman. It's a classic description of the people in the Good Samaritan parable. Van Dyke pointed out that the robbers came saying, "What's yours is mine, and I'll take it." The priest and Levi passed by on the other side saying, "What's mine is mine, and I'll keep it." The Good Samaritan stopped and helped the injured man, saying, "What's mine is yours, and let's share it." Then the author, James Moore, concludes this section of the Good Samaritan parable with these words, quote, "Sometimes we get confused about what life really means. Sometimes we cannot see it clearly. Sometimes we cannot see just what we are supposed to do. But Jesus makes it clear here in Luke 10 that we are to look at life and at other people not with cruel eyes, not with calculating eyes, but with caring eyes," unquote. Yes, Jesus calls us to heart-centered service for others in need. In the parable of the prodigal son, the elder brother, with his selfish legalism, demands his entitlement and self-centeredness rather than accepting and welcoming his younger brother. Just as this case, no empathy, no compassion, no grace, no kindness would always lead to lip service or hypocrisy, not heart-centered service or genuine love. My brothers and sisters in Christ, we are called to choose heart-centered service over ritualism. Ritualism becomes legalism when the performance of rituals is believed to earn salvation, righteousness, or God's favor, rather than being an expression of unwavering faith and love in God. Of course, in our Christian life, we value a great deal of tradition, beliefs, liturgies, and service. However, if you are stuck in this ritualism or obsessed with this ritualism, everything would become your show to run. Yes, everything would become a mere performance rather than true faith in loving actions. We are still walking our faith journey in this Lent. We are called to transform our lives from self-centered to Christ-centered. I'm sure you all are familiar with Prophet Joel's appeal to people for repentance. Rend your heart and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God. Yes, this is a call to authentic repentance, urging a sincere inner being, inner change of heart rather than mere outward displays of grief. Moreover, Prophet Samuel proclaims, "Surely to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams." This verse signifies that sincere obedience to God's commands is far more valuable than performing religious rituals or offering gifts or sacrifices without a submissive heart. It emphasizes that God values inner faithfulness, listening to His voice and obedience over mere outward shows of worship. Apostle Paul also strongly urges us in his letter to the Romans, "Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." My friends in Christ, today, even though these parables of Jesus appear to be all ancient stories and antiquated illustrations, they are indeed still valid, relevant, and relatable to our modern spiritual life in our following Jesus and in establishing the kingdom of God here and now. Throughout our Lenten journey together, may you discover the deep secret of the kingdom of God so that you may experience more joys and more blessings from the message of Jesus, especially from these parables of Jesus. Thanks be to God. Amen.